All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Tzadik Vav. Today's daf is Tzadik Vav. We left off on the bottom of Tzadik Hei Amud Beis. So also we left off, the Gemara says, Lema. It's three, a lot to do today. 3, 6, 9 lines up from the bottom. So also remember again in the Mishnah, we started the new parak yesterday. So remember again in the Mishnah, we had the Machlokas. The person finds a pair of tefillin outside the Rishus HaRabim. So now I don't want to leave them there because, again, I'm concerned they're going to get ruined. So the Shaila is now, how can I get them? How can I transport them from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYachid? So the Mishnah gives me, the one piece that everybody seems to agree on is the way to go ahead and save them is to wear them. The Shaila is, how do you wear them? Tanakhama says one pair at a time. Rabbi Gamliel says you can wear two pairs at a time. So the Gemara was trying to figure out what is at the root of their machlokes. So the Gemara says, Leim b'drav Shlomo bar Yitzchak kamiflagi. Let's say that perhaps they're arguing regarding the position of Rav Shlomo bar Yitzchak. So also, if you remember again in yesterday's daf, Rav Shlomo bar Yitzchak discussed or posited that there's enough room on the head and on the bicep for two pairs of tefillin. So perhaps that's the machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Gamliel. That Tanakama holds of that. Tanakama rejects that and therefore holds that you can only wear one pair. Rabbi Gamliel accepts that, therefore says you can wear two pairs. So the Gemara says, the Tanakama, let's say, the Rabbi Shlomo bar Yitzchak, or Rabbi Gamliel, is Rabbi Shlomo bar Yitzchak. So Gemara says, lo, dechuli amma is lo, Rabbi Shlomo bar Yitzchak. Everyone agrees with the Shlomo bar Yitzchak statement that there's enough room for two shal roshes and two shal yads. V'ha'ocha b'shabes zman tefillin kamiflagi. They both say, what are they arguing about? There's a fundamental dispute here as to whether or not the mitzvah of tefillin applies on Shabbos. The Tanakama savas Shabbos zman tefillin hu. Tanakama holds, and both say, we're going to get into the logic behind these positions in a little bit. Tanakama holds that Shabbos is the time for tefillin. Rabbi Gamliel holds Shabbos loves man tefillin. Okay, that's the machlokas. V'boyisim, another possibility is the chuli alma Shabbos man tefillinu. Other possibility is everyone agrees that Shabbos is the zman tefillin. V'hocha b'mitzos tzrichos kavana kamiflagi. Now, also according to this approach, everyone agrees that the mitzvah of tefillin applies on Shabbos. Aye, so what's the machlokas? The machlokas is mitzos tzrichos kavana. Do mitzvos require specific intent to discharge your obligation or not? Tanakama savar, lot says boy kavona. Rabbi Gamliel savar, lo boy kavona. I just want to point out to you, in the last three lines of Rashi, Rashi changes the girsa. Rashi says that this reading of the Gemara cannot be correct. And the way that Rashi understands it is, the Tanakama holds, lo boy kavona. Tanakama holds that to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin, you don't need kavona. That's why, what you remember, we'll say, build up to this. According to this approach, everyone's agreeing that you wear tefillin, that Shabbos is man tefillinu. Tanakama holds that mitzvahs don't require kavana. Therefore, you can only wear one in at a time. Why? Because if you put on two, then what are you going to be in violation of? Bal tosif. Rabbi said there is a halacha that says that you cannot add on to the mitzvahs. So Tanakama says, the Torah tells us you're only supposed to wear one pair of tefillin. Because you don't need kavana when you discharge a mitzvah, if you put on a second pair, then what are you by definition doing? You're fulfilling the mitzvah with both pairs. Fulfilling the mitzvah with both pairs is what? Is Bal Tosif. Therefore, the Tanakhama says you could only go ahead and wear one pair of tefillin. All right, so we're going to get to them. We're going to get to the two tefillin wearers. So now, and on the other hand, Rabbi...
You put on tefillin that morning already?
That's not Bal Tosif. You could put on tefillin as many times as you want. Bal Tosif is actively putting on two pairs at once. Adding on to the mitzvah is not performing the mitzvah more than once. It's performing the mitzvah in one way, that is not required. So you can put on tefillin as many times as you want throughout the day, no Bal Tosif. Two pairs at once, Tanakhama will say is Bal Tosif. Rabbi Gamliel, on the other hand, says that no, there is mitzvos do require kavana. Therefore, according to Rabbi Gamliel, you can put on the second pair. It's not Bal Tosif. And remember, I will say, all of this, the whole discussion is motivated by the idea that tefillin could have the status of a tachshit. That tefillin could have the status of an adornment, because since tefillin, again, we'll say we think about it as a ritual object, which of course it is true, but because you wear it, it almost is able halachically to take on the status of a clothing-like item. So Tanakhama says, one you'll be wearing for the sake of the mitzvah, you have to have kavana, the other one you'll wear just for a tachshit, and because mitzvahs require kavana, there's no Bal Tosif. Top of Tzadik Vav, V'bay, same with the other possibilities, Chulam Allah takes L'bay kavana. Or maybe another possibility. Everyone agrees. First of all, we'll say everyone's agreeing that Shabbos is man tefillinu, and everyone also agrees that to go and fulfill it, so you don't need kavana. V'hacha la'avor mishum bal tosif kamiflagi. And here the machlokus is actually on the how and when you violate Baal Tosef. Well, so you can remember, Baal Tosef means adding on to a mitzvah. You're not permitted to, just like you're not permitted to subtract, you're not permitted to add on. The Tanakama Savar, Tanakama holds, La Avor Mishum Baal Tosef, Lo Boy Kavona. Tanakama holds that to violate Baal Tosef doesn't require Kavona. Therefore, what? The Tanakama will say you may not put on, this is a little bit similar to what we said before, you may not put on the second pair, because even wearing in the second pair will go ahead and make you violate Baal Tosef. Rabbi Gamliel says, La Avor Mishum Baal Tosef, Boy Kavona. Rabbi Gamliel, on the other hand, says, no, that to violate Baal Tosef, you have to have active kavana, you have to have active kavana to add on to the mitzvah. So according to the Rabbi Gamliel, even if you put on that second pair, as long as you don't have explicit kavana to violate Baal Tosef, you're totally okay. V'boy Seima, another possible. So again, this is just a number of different suggestions as to how to frame the machlokes in the Mishnah between Rabbi Gamliel and the Tanakhama. So the Gemara says, V'boy Seima, another possibility is, E disviralon. The Shabbos Zman Tefillin. Now, again, I will say this one has a little bit more structure. So another possibility is the following. If you hold that Shabbos is Zman Tefillin, I will say, remember, we have not discussed the root of that machlokes yet as to whether or not Shabbos is a time for Tefillin or not a time for Tefillin. That's our next sugya. But let's presuppose that you hold that Shabbos is Zman Tefillin. If there is a mitzvah of Tefillin on Shabbos, D'chuli alma lo la'abor boi kavona. So also in this structure, we will presuppose that if you hold that Shabbos is the Zman for Tefillin, then you don't need Kavana to be Yotzi the Mitzvah, and you also don't need Kavana to be over on Baal Tosef. Both of those things happen by themselves. So what's the machlokis over here? V'hacha b'la'avor shelo b'zmano kamiflagi. And here Rabbi Osai, the machlokus between Rabbi Gamliel and Tanakama is, can you be in violation of Baal Tosef at a time when there is no mitzvah? Tanakama savar, the Tanakama holds, lo boy kavana. So the Tanakama holds that you don't need kavana to be a violation of Baal Tosef. Rabbi Gamliel savar, la'avor, shelo bizmano boy kavana. And Rabbi Gamliel holds that, no, that to be in violation of Baal Tosef, because we'll say this Baal Tosef would be a little bit different. This, as opposed to the previous Baal Tosef, which was going ahead and actually wearing two pairs of tefillin at once, the Baal Tosef over here would be trying to fulfill the mitzvah at a time where there is no obligation. So the Tanakama holds that it doesn't require kavana. Therefore, according to the Tanakama, putting on an additional pair of tefillin, L'maisa, again, would be in violation of Baal Tosef. According to Rabbi Gamliel, it does require Kavana, and therefore, again, putting on a second pair, as long as you don't have Kavana for Baal Tosef, you're okay. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's the case, L'Rabbi Meir, Zug Echad Namilo. But Rabbi Osei, if that's the case, that according to Rabbi Meir, now Rabbi Osei, where does Rabbi Meir come from? If you remember, again, at the beginning of yesterday's daf, we've already established that Rabbi Meir is the Tanakama. Right, the Tanakama is Rabbi Meir. If that's the case, according to Rabbi Meir, then even one pair of tefillin should be problematic on Shabbos. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. Zug echad nami lo, diyesh kan tosefes, shemosif Shabbos alachol, lemitzvas tefillin. So also, if that's the case, then now the way you're framing it is that lemaisa, the machlokas is, the assumption is that Shabbos is not zman tefillin. And the shaila is whether or not you need kavana to be in violation of Baal Tosef. Well, if that's the case, that Shabbos is not zman tefillin hu, then guess what? Even putting on one pair of tefillin by itself would be a problem of Baal Tosef, because you're adding on to the mitzvah of tefillin, which does not apply on Shabbos. And therefore, according to the Tanakhama, forget about two pairs, even one pair should be problematic. V'od, and furthermore, using this logic, Hayoshin b'shmini b'sukkah yiloka. If one sleeps in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, one should get malchus for Baal Tosef. Look at Rashi Bosai. V'od Hayoshin b'shmini b'sukkah yiloka. Because again, what are you doing? By sleeping in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, you are adding on an extra day to sukkis. The anon, but yet we may sub yasvinon bishmini safek shvi lechatchila ela shelo bizmano below kavana lav tosefesu ulahachi sharinon di shmini hu lo mechavina lemitzah sukkis. So we'll say, the Gemara is bringing an interesting raya over here. So we know that whereas we don't sleep in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres in the absence, you know, unless, of course, you have a strong Hasidic tradition, so the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is that we do eat in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So, interestingly enough, what does that show you? That shows you that to go ahead and violate Baal Tosef, you really do need Kavana. Because of also, I remember if you didn't need kavana for the, to violate the mitzvah or the, or the, I should say, the prohibition of Baal Tosva adding on to a mitzvah, then what? Then you should not be able to eat in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Why? Because just by sitting in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, what are you doing? You're adding on to the mitzvah of sukkahs. The fact, which you can't do, the fact that we, now, our whole logic when we sit in the sukkah, this is only in Chutz Laaretz, when we sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres is because Sveika Diyoma, because remember we have this idea built into our calendar, even though we no longer have the ambiguity, that the eighth day is maybe really the seventh day, and therefore we cover our bases. So we cover our bases by simply sitting in the sukkah. Again, if Baal Tosif didn't require kavana, right, if you just were a violation of Baal Tosif without kavana, you wouldn't be able to sit in the sukkah. The fact that we could sit in the sukkah indicates that Baal Tosif is not violated unless, of course, a person has specific intent. Uman shanis lei, Shabbos is man tefillah. Excuse me. Ella, rather, mechavarta kidishanin el meikara. So the Gemara says, you know what, at the end of the day, it seems to be that the easiest way and the clearest way to explain the machlokas, Rabbi Gamliel and the Tanakhama, is the way we initially stated it. Now, what's the way we initially stated? Look at Rashi, right across in Rashi. Mechavarta kidishanin meikara, b'shabbos zman v'lav zman tefillin hu kamifliki. The Shabbos said, the fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and the Tanakhama is what? Is whether or not the mitzvah of tefillin applies on Shabbos. That seems to be the fundamental machlokas, and how you rule on that machlokas will inform how you allow for the saving of tefillin to occur on Shabbos. So now the Gemara says, Uman Shamis Lei, Shabbos Zman Tefillin. Who is the opinion who holds that there is a mitzvah of tefillin on Shabbos? To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva. It's Rabbi Akiva, Desanya, Vishamarta Esachuka Hazos, Lemoada, Miyamim Yamima. So the Pasuk says, you will guard this statute, Lemoada, in its appointed time, Miyamim Yamima, for, literally from days to day. Yamim v'lo leilos. So the Gemara dashes are also now again. The Gemara is assuming right now that because again this pasuk occurs at the end of the section of tefillin, that it's a double section of Karban Pesach and tefillin. That lemaisa that this pasuk is referring to tefillin, and this pasuk is giving you the time frame for tefillin. So the Gemara says yamim. What do we learn from yamim yamima? Yamim v'lo leilos. So the first thing we learn is that the mitzvah tefillin applies by day and not at night. And not at night. Okay. Miyamim from days, velo kol yamim, and not all days. Prat l'shabbos also yamim tovim. So we'll say, again, the Gemara is making a double drush. Number one, just the fact that it says yamim. So yamim tovim, mitzvah tefillin only applies by day, not by night. And number two, miyamim. Miyamim means from days, which indicates it's an exclusionary phrase, which means that it's saying some days yes, some days no. Miyamim v'lo kol yamim, which days does it exclude? Prat l'shabbosos v'yamim tovim. It comes to exclude Shabbos and Yom Tov. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Haglili. These are the words of Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Rabbi Akiva says, no. Rabbi Akiva says, lo ne'emar chukazu ela le'inyan Pesach bilvad. So interesting if Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Yossi Haglili, you're totally off. The pasuk is not even talking about tefillin. The pasuk is actually talking about Karban Pesach. I will say now again. Remember, just context wise, the Torah is speaking both about tefillin and Karban Pesach. So the shaila is now: this pasuk is the end of that section. Rabbi Yosef clearly sees it referring to tefillin because that was the last thing discussed, and Rabbi Akiva sees it closing out the section of Karban Pesach. The Elo Hadistan I, but that which we learned Ha Pesach VaHamila. Mitzvos asay, but we learned in the Mishnah that Karban Pesach and Mila are positive commandments. Lema delok Rabbi Akiva. This must not reflect the view of Rabbi Akiva. Why? Di'i Rabbi Akiva. Because if it was Rabbi Akiva, kevan demoki la Pesach, kevan demoki la Pesach, lav nami ika. Because we're both saying, now remember, what just follows in just a moment. The Mishnah seems to be saying over here, not the Mishnah seems to be saying, the Mishnah is saying that Pesach and Mila are mitzvos haseh. Now, of course, the unique aspect of that is that both Pesach and Mila carry a penalty of kares. Right? If a person intentionally does not bring Karban Pesach, or a person, once he becomes an adult, realizes that he's uncircumcised and does not take care of that, there's a mitzvah, there's a chi of kares. in both those situations. Now, the unique part of that is neither of these have a prohibition associated with them. So now the Gemara says that Mishnah doesn't reflect the view of Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva said, actually, just take a quick look at Rashi. Rashi says, a Pesach v'amila, afa pishyeshba and kares, even though they have a penalty of kares, horil ve'ein bahen lav, since they don't have a prohibition associated with it, ela mitzvas asehein, ein mevi'in al shegegasan chatas. If you were to inadvertently violate one of them, right, which means non-compliance with one of them, you will not bring a carbon chatos, because Rashi says the carbon chatos only occurs as a result of transgression of a lav, and neither of these have a lav. So now the Gemara just says, Rabbi Akiva would not agree. Rabbi Akiva would say that carbon pesach does have a lav. Why would Rabbi Akiva say carbon pesach has a lav? De'i Rabbi Akiva, de'muki lav pesach, because according to Rabbi Akiva, who established the pasuk before, of v'shamarta es achuka azos lamo adim yamim yamima, as referring to carbon pesach, lav nami ika. There is a lav for carbon pesach. What's lav of carbon pesach? Kid Rabbi Avin, am Rabbi Eloi. Like Rabbi Avin said in Rabbi Eloi, am Rabbi Avin, am Rabbi Eloi. Komakum shenemar, he shomer, pen, va'al, eino ela below sase. So Rabbi Avin says, we'll say that what? Whenever the Torah uses the lashon of he shomer, pen, and al, those are all words that introduce what? That introduce a lav. And therefore, again, v'shamarta is hishamer. And therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, who understands that this pasuk is referring to Karban Pesach, therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, Karban Pesach does have a lav. Does have a lav. Therefore, the Mishnah that says that Pesach and Mila are only mitzvos asei would not be like Rabbi Akiva. To which the Gemara says, that's not true. Afil tim Rabbi Akiva. It could even be like Rabbi Akiva. The Mishnah could even be like Rabbi Akiva. Why? Hishamer de lav. He shamer da asay. So we'll say, because again, Rabbi Akiva agrees that when he shamer is mentioned in the context of a lav, then it's a lav. And when it's mentioned in the context of an asay, it's an asay. So even Rabbi Akiva understands that the pasuk gives of v'shamarta sachuka azos miyamim lamima, miyamim yamima, is referring to Karban Pesach, could still agree with the Mishnah that says that Karban Pesach is only an asay and not the lav. Fine. But back to our sugyo. So we'll say, here's what we have. So now what we have over here is a fundamental machlokis, Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, about the Zman of Tefillin. Rabbi Yossi Aglili understands from this pasuk of V'shamarta sachuka azos miyamim yamima, two exclusions. Number one, yamim velo lelos. It only applies by day, not by night. Number two, miyamim velo kol yamim. It applies some days, but not all days, i.e. to exclude Shabbos and Yom Tov. Rabbi Akiva rejects the drasha in totality because he holds that the pasuk is not referring to tefillin, it's referring to Karban Pesach. So now based on this, the Gemara is going to assume that Rabbi Akiva therefore must hold what? That you always put on tefillin. Well, at least for our purposes now, we don't know about nighttime, but at least again, Shabbos, there is a mitzvah tefillin on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, Shabbos man tefillin. Is that true that Rabbi Akiva actually holds that Shabbos is his man tefillin? Vatanya, we learned, Rabbi Akiva, Omer Yachol Yaniach Adam Tefillin B'Shabbos Os Yomim Tovim. The Brisa says, Rabbi Akiva says, a person might have thought that you should put on tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Talmud Lomar, V'haya L'chali Os Al Yodecha. It will be for you a sign on your hand. Misha Tzrichin Os. I will say, when do you put on tefillin? Remember, tefillin are an os, they're a sign of the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. So when do you put on tefillin? Misha Tzrichin Os, on days that require a sign. Yatsu Elu Shehein Gufan Os. But this comes to exclude the days that are themselves an os. What is he referring to? Shabbos and Yom Tov. Right, Shabbos and Yom Tov, Rabbosai, are days in and of itself that express the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, you don't need the Os of Tefillin. This is very interesting. So now, again, Rabbi Akiva is darshaning now an actual pasuk from the Parsha of Tefillin. Says the whole point is to be a sign of the relationship. You only need it on days where a sign is needed. But on days themselves that represent a sign, no Tefillin at all. So the Gemara says, Ella Haitanu. So therefore, I will say, now we've essentially now rejected the idea. Rabbi Akiva is not the opinion who holds that Shabbos is man tefillin hu. So the question now is, who is it? Ella Haitanu, this Sanya. Haneir Balayla, if someone was awake at night, Ratza Choletz, Ratza Maniach, Tivei Rabbi Nosson. So what does Rabbi Nosson say? If you're awake at night, so whether you want to put on your tefillin, take off your tefillin, you have that right. Yonah San Akitoni says, Ein manich in tefillin balayla. So Rabbi Yonah San Akitoni says, no, we don't put on tefillin at night. Midalayla letana letana kama zman tefillin, Shabbos nami zman tefillin. Now the fact, Rabosai, that Rabbi Nosson allows tefillin at night, the assumption of the Gemara right now is that night and Shabbos are connected. For some reason, the Gemara is going to say it doesn't have to be so. But for now, the Hava Mime is that if you're allowing it at night, you would also allow it by Shabbos. So to which the Gemara says, Dilma Sfira Le Laila Zman Tefillin Hu, Shabbos Lav Zman Tefillin Hu. Right, they're both saying, but why do those two have to go together? Maybe Rabbi Nosson holds that nighttime might be appropriate for Tefillin, but Shabbos and Yom Tov are not. After all, Da Hashem Inale Rabbi Akiva, Da Amar Laila Zman Tefillin Hu, Shabbos Lav Zman Tefillin. Because we'll say, after all, the position of Rabbi Akiva is that you could wear Tefillin at night, but what? You don't wear Tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So we see that those two periods of time are not good, which makes sense. Because Rabbi Akiva, ultimately, his whole drasha is V'haya l'chali os al yadecha. So it's the os issue, it's not the night issue. So the Gemara says, Ela hai Tana. So we'll say we're still stuck. We don't know who is the Tana that says that you can't wear Tefillin on Shabbos. Ela hai Tana. Excuse me, can wear Tefillin on Shabbos. Ela hai Tana hu, disanya. Micha bas Kushi. We'll say fascinating Gemara. Micha bas Kushi. Now, who is Micha bas Kushi? So Rashi points out Kushi is Shaul. It's King Shaul. Micha, the daughter of Shaul. This is the wife of David HaMelech. First wife of David HaMelech. Right? So Micha bas Kushi. So the Micha, the daughter of Shaul, used to put on tefillin. Rashi points out over here bas Kushi, bas Shaul, kedichsiv al divrei Kush ben Yemini. Then Shaul could not respond. So they called him Kushi for a number of different reasons. The simple pshat is that just like a Kushi, a dark skinned person, is very noticeable because of the color of their skin. So Shaul, at least at the beginning, was such a distinguished, righteous personality that he stood separate and distinct from the rest of the nation. So they used to call her Micha Bas Kushi. So she would put on tefillin, and what happened? V'lo Michu b'chachamim. And the rabbis did not object to it. Nobody said anything. Rashi says, V'lo Michu b'chachamim, da'avi kitosefes al divrei Torah, shepa'. Well, actually, let's not read that yet. Furthermore, the Ishto Shal Yonah, the wife of Yonah, this is Yonah ben Amittai, this is the Navi Yonah, the wife of Yonah, Haisa Ola L'Regel, used to go on Aliyah L'Regel, right? She used to come up to the Beis Hamikdash during the three regalim. V'lo Michu b'chacham, Nacham never objected to this. So the Gemara says, Now also listen to this interesting argument. The fact that the rabbis did not object to these practices, Alma kasavri mitzvos asay shelo hazman gromichi. It must be, so when Micha bas Shaul put on tefillin, Rabosai, say, I have a woman putting on tefillin, the rabbis didn't say anything. It must be why? Because tefillin is not a time-bound mitzvah, in which case, technically speaking, women are obligated. Now, we'll say, why does this matter for us? Because if you don't hold that tefillin is a time-bound mitzvah, then what does that tell us for our sugya? That there's a chiyuv on Shabbos. So here, whoever is sanctioning this practice clearly holds that Shabbos zman tefillin hu. Someone says, one second, how do you know that? The Dilma Savrala, maybe the fact that the rabbis didn't object was because of the fact, maybe because they hold Rabbi Yossi. Dam Rabbi Yossi, nashim somchos rishus. I will say, Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion, I will say, there's a concept. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Nashim somchos rishus. So we'll say there's a concept of smicha, of placing your hands on a carbon before it's offered. Now, technically speaking, the Gemara dashes that only men have an obligation ultimately for smicha, because the Torah used the lashon of bnei Yisrael. And the Gemara dashes out that it's dafka men. Rabbi Yossi says the obligation is on men, but that doesn't prevent women from doing it. Somchos rishus means, if they might be technically exempt, but an exemption doesn't mean a prohibition. So if they want to go ahead and be, so the Gemara says, I don't understand, why do you jump to the conclusion that the Tana over here holds that tefillin is a mitzvah aseh shelo hazman grama? Why do you jump to the conclusion that mitzvah is a non-time-bound commandment? There's a much easier suggestion that the Tana or the Rabbanim who did not object to Micha bas Shaul putting on tefillin felt that it's an exemption, she's not obligated, but the same way that we allow a woman to do smicha, if the woman wants to put on tefillin, she could put on tefillin as well. D'ilo temahachi, because if you don't say this, ishto shal yona haisa ola l'regel v'lo michuba. So also remember, the second case was that the wife of Yona used to be ola regel, and no one said anything. Now also, no one objected to it. So the Gemara says, mi ika l'man d'amer, regel lav mitzas aseh shazman gramu. Now, Bosai, one thing is for sure, which is, aliyah l'regel is definitely a mitzas ase shahazman grama. Why? Because it only applies during the regalah. I mean, there's no way around that one. So also, the fact that these two concepts are grouped together, the wife of Yonah going being ol regel, and the daughter of Shaul putting on tefillin, is indicative that there's a common denominator between these mitzvos. Therefore, the Gemara says, don't jump to the conclusion that tefillin is a mitzvah ase shelo hazman grama, that it's not time-bound. Rather, again, it is time-bound. Technically, women are exempt. But yet, Michal bar Shaul wanted to put on tefillin, so no one said anything. Ela kasavar, rishus. Rather, it must be, that the tefillin ultimately are rishus. Ela kasavar rishus, hachanami rishus. Rather, just like by smicha, if the woman wanted to do smicha, it's optional, she can do so. So to be by the putting on of tefillin, it's also optional. If she would like to, she could avail herself of that opportunity, according to what the Gemara is saying right now. I will say, so therefore, for our purposes, what this means for us now is what? Is we still don't have the opinion that holds that Shabbos is man tefillin. Because also, I remember, we thought we had it in the bag. Because if you could say that that tefillin is a mitzvah ase shelo hazman grama, that it's not time-bound, that would indicate that what? That it's applicable on Shabbos as well. Ela hai tanahi. Rather, it's the following tanah. This sandal. Hamotzei tefillin, if someone finds tefillin, also listen to this braisa. Person finds tefillin, again in Rosh Sarabim, machnisan zug. Right? You could bring them in one pair at a time. Echad ha'ish ve'echad ha'isha. Both a man could bring them in, as well as a woman bring them in. Echad chadoshos ve'echad yishanos. Whether they're new tefillin or old tefillin. So also we established yesterday, remember, new and old refers to the knots. Right, so old means either the knots are intact or the knots have become unraveled, but the leather is bent in a way that it was clear that knots were tied, versus new ones, which have never been tied. So according to Rabbi Meir, if you find tefillin on Rosh Hashanah, you can bring them in one pair at a time. A man could do it, a woman could do it. New tefillin, old tefillin. Dear Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda osher bechadoshos, Rabbi Yehuda asers with new tefillin. Rabbi Yehuda holds against what, remember what I was saying, from the Mishnah, the concern with new tefillin, so to speak, is what? That they're not really tefillin. Maybe they're kamios, maybe they're amulets. And if they're amulets, because people would often make amulets in the shape of tefillin, and there's no license to transport the amulets on Shabbos. Remember, the only license is to transport tefillin because of their kedusha. So Rabbi Yehuda therefore says, no, if it's new, so to speak, you can't transport it, but if it's old, you can. So the Gemara makes an interesting observation. Ad kan lo pligi ela bechadoshos v'yishanos. So Rabbi say, if you look carefully, the machlokas din Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir is on the type of tefillin you can transport, right? Rabbi Meir says both new and old. Rabbi Yehuda says only old, nothing new. Aval ha beisha lo pligi. But Rabbi say, interestingly enough, what don't they argue about? They don't argue about the license of a woman to put on the tefillin, because Rabbi say, the assumption is, how are you getting this in? Right? You're wearing it. So interestingly enough, they don't argue about the ability for the woman to do this. Aval beisha lo pligi, to which the Gemara says, Shmamina mitzvas ase shelo hazman gramo. Now, Rabosai, there could only be one reason for that. The only reason for that would be that because you would say that a woman is obligated in tefillin, and the only reason you would say that a woman is obligated in tefillin is why? Or I should say, the result of saying that a woman is obligated in tefillin is to essentially say that it is not a time-bound commandment. I will say one more step. If it's not a time-bound commandment, then what does that mean? What does it mean? Right, that the mitzvah applies on Shabbos. And I will say, remember, so you see over here that according to both of these opinions, they hold that the mitzvah tefillin applies on Shabbos. Chol mitzvos asei she'ein hazman grama nashim chayavos. Okay? So the Gemara says, one second, maybe not. So I will say, right now the Gemara thinks that it's just found the Tana who holds that Shabbos is man tefillin hu. To which the Gemara says, not necessarily. V'dilma savar lo k'Rabbi Yosi. Maybe Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda both hold like Rabbi Yosi. What does Rabbi Yosi say? Da amar nashim simchos rishus. Because let's remember, Rabbi Yosi is the opinion top. We just read a couple of lines ago. Rabbi Yosi says that, for example, when it comes to smicha, going in and placing the hands on the animal, although a woman is not obligated to do so, if she wants to, she definitely can. To which the Gemara, and therefore again, when we say that a woman is exempt from tefillin, but if she wants to, she can, because she has this license, then what? Then lemaisa, she could also wear it in on Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, lo, sagadaitcha, de lo, Rabbi Meir, savalak, Rabbi Yosi, V'lo Rabbi Yehuda Sovel Rabbi Yossi. Which the Gemara says can't be true. Why? Because neither Rabbi Meir nor Rabbi Yehuda, the two opinions listed in the Brayso over here, hold like Rabbi Yossi. And lo, so how do we know this? Lo Rabbi Meir Sovel Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Meir doesn't know the Rabbi Yossi. Why? This nan ein ma'akvin esatinokos milit koa. So we'll say so. On Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, we don't prevent children from blowing the shofar. Look at Rashi. Ein ma'akvin. Ein based in musharin lemonan milit koa biyom tov shrosh Hashanah. De bo'u lechanichinhu b'mitzvos. So we'll say again, children who are not obligated in the midst of shofar. Now remember, we'll say a shofar, technically speaking, is muktzah, except for the fact that it's used for a mitzvah, which would seem to indicate to you that any usage outside of the muktzah, outside of the mitzvah usage, would be prohibited. But yet, interestingly enough, the Mishnah says that if a child wants to pick up and blow the shofar, we don't prevent him from doing that. And Rashi points out because there's a mitzvah of chinuch. But the inference from that is, ha-nashim ma'akvin. The interesting inference from that is children wouldn't stop. But if a woman were to pick up the shofar and start blowing it, then what? We would prevent her from doing so. Look at Rashi. Hanashim me'akvin. Af agav delo chilo yom tofu. Kitana de Beis Shmuel. Yotza tikiya shofar odia sapa. Shichachma. Veinu alacha. Mihu niros kimosifos. So we'll say Rashi just points out already, even though technically speaking there is no prohibition, there's no Isra da'oraisa, but because again technically speaking they're not obligated, because remember shofar is mitzvahs asei shazman grama, it's a time bound commandment. So technically speaking, women are not obligated in it. So therefore, if a woman will want to blow the shofar, says the Mishnah, we would not let her. The Gemara says ustam mas nisin, Rabbi Meir. And a stam mishnah says Rabbi Meir. So what do you see from here? Rabbi Meir doesn't agree with Rabbi Yossi, because according to Rabbi Yossi, what would Rabbi Yossi say about shofar? Rabbi Yossi would say something about shofar that he says about smicha. Just like a woman is not obligated in smicha, but if she wants to, we let her do it. So too, if a woman is not obligated in tikiya shofar, but if she wants to, we will let her do it as well. So you see a way that Rabbi Meir does not agree with Rabbi Yossi. The Lord Rabbi Yehuda saw like Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yehuda also doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi. Why? Disanya, daber al bnei Yisrael, daber al bnei Yisrael, v'samach. B'nei Yisrael somchin ve'ein b'nos Yisrael somchos. So we'll say, so what does the Braisa say? Speak to the Jewish people, right? And they all do smicha. So the Braisa darshins that B'nei Yisrael, the men do smicha, and the women do not do smicha. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon omrim, nashim somchos rishos. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon say that although a woman is not obligated to do smicha, but lemaisa what? Lemaisa, if she wants to, she can. Ustam sifra, money. And who, when we also have a stam sifra, we'll say sifra. The sifra, Rashi points out, Torah's Kanim, is a collection of brisos. This is quoted from the sifra. When you have an unattributed statement in the sifra, whose opinion does not reflect? Rabbi Yehuda. So we'll say, the point that we have over here so far is that we're still not 100% clear, but there's one thing we did prove, which is that both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda do not hold like Rabbi Yossi. Do not hold like Rabbi Yossi, which means that according to both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, if a woman is not obligated in a particular mitzvah, then what? Then she's not permitted just to do it on her own volition, which also poses now a very interesting reality, because both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda hold that if a woman finds tefillin outside in the field, that what can she do? She can wear it in. Which now, for now, the only way we could explain that particular statement is to say that what? That both according to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, that tefillin is a mitzvah's shelo hazman grama, that it is a non-time-bound commandment, which means that a woman is obligated in that mitzvah. If it's not time-bound, then that means for us that what? There is an obligation on Shabbos, which would seem to point in the direction that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are the opinions that hold that Shabbos zman tefillin hu. Okay, so Rabbi says, so what we have over here is on one hand, we have Rabbi Yossi Haglili, who's one of darshins, teaches us that Shabbos is not the Zman for Tefillin. Even Rabbi Akiva, who might hold that what? That nighttime you do wear Tefillin, agrees that on Shabbos you don't. Why? Os. On the other hand, it seems to be, the reason I say it seems to be is because it's for now. We're gonna argue with this a little bit, but for now it appears that the Gemara has found attribution for the opinion that holds that Shabbos is Zman Tefillin, and that would be the opinions of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Fine, says the Gemara. I'm Rebbe Lozer. So we'll say the Gemara jumps to it's you're going to see why this is important in just a moment. Hamotzi Tcheles Peshuk. So we'll say, once we start talking about finding tefillin on the outside, so the Gemara talks about finding other things on the outside. Listen to this case. Hamotzi Tcheles Peshuk. So we'll say someone finds Tcheles. Right? Tcheles is the blue dyed, is the blue dye, or I should say the wool dyed blue. It's the blue dye that's used ultimately for one of the strands of tzitzis. So let's say someone finds Tcheles dyed wool in the marketplace, in the shuk. So I'll say, so what's that? So now the question is, can I use these for tzitzis? I'll say, interestingly enough, for tzitzis, so the making of the strings themselves and the dyeing with tcheles must be done l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. Must be done for the sake of the mitzvah. Which means that, if you were to go out to the marketplace and somebody's selling, just tcheles dyed wool, but it wasn't, the wool itself wasn't processed, the strings weren't made, and it wasn't dyed for the sake of tzitzis, you cannot use that for tzitzis. So the shaylan is going to be, you find tcheles in the shuk, and what? You don't know what it was made for. You don't know what it was processed for. So the shaylan now is, can you use it for tzitzis or not? So the Gemara says, Hamotzi tcheles b'shuk, if someone finds tcheles in the shuk, l'shono. So we'll say, now the Gemara is going to discuss, it depends what kind of wool, what kind of strings you are finding. If you find l'shono, l'shono, so we'll say, means long strips. Then psulos, you can't use that for tzitzis, because Rosh Rashi points out psulos and Rashi, lishonos tzemer sorok v'tzavua. This is long strips of combed and colored flax. Of wool. Psulos shemelot tzava l'sham. The shame tzitzis, the anan asir l'shma b'yonin. Because most of the concern is maybe it was not dyed for the sake of tzitzis, and we need it to be l'shma. However, chutin, if you just find strings, then l'maisa k'sherin. Then you could use it for tzitzis. So the Gemara says, maishna l'shonos. Why is it that if you find strips of wool, you cannot use it? Dye with tzitzis, you can't use it for tzitzis. D'amar adaita d'glima tzavinu. Because we'll say, b'pashtos, we make the assumption that the strips of wool were dyed for the sake of creating a garment. A garment, right? A glima, a cloak. Chutin nami nema daita diglima tavinu. So why don't we say the same thing over here? Why don't we say that even when you find strings, why don't we assume that those strings were also going to be fashioned in some type of garment? To which the Gemara answers, bishazurin. Because what happens? The threads are already twisted. And I will say, if you ever look at the way tzitzis looks, so you could unravel your tzitzis. They're twisted. Apparently, the Gemara says is if you were using strings to make a garment, you wouldn't bother to twist it. There's no need to twist it. You would just use the straight string. When you find them twisted, that's indicative of the fact that what? That they were made for the sake of tzitzis. Shazurim nami anema adaita desifsa diglima aifinu. So the words, I don't say, but even if they're twisted, say that they were used to put on the hem of one's garment, of one's cloak. Now, Bosai, apparently, what they used to have is by their tunics or by their cloaks, by the hem, they would have like a more of an ornamental design. So on that, it was quite common to use a piece of twisted thread. So why can't it, bless you, so why can't the twisted thread, why can't we say that maybe it was made for the sake of making it into a garment? Bimuf sukin. Because we'll say, what are we talking about over here? We're talking not just about twisted threads, but they're short. They are cut. They're shorter. The chuli hai vaday lo tarchi inshi. Now we'll say, because again, interestingly enough, if they were already cut and shorter, to go ahead and attach that to a garment is such a tircha that a person's not going to do it. Therefore, by definition, we assume that what? That those strings must have been made for the sake of tzitzis. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Amarava. We'll say, here's what's interesting. So the Gemara says, the way we're going to allow you to go ahead and use those little strings of tcheles or tzitzis is because we make the assumption that although they technically could be used for a garment, people wouldn't do that because it's too much effort. So the Gemara says, is that really true? That people don't do things that are too much effort? Look at the tefillin case. Right? So we'll say, right, can you imagine the effort that's involved? You know, kamiya, the concept of amulets, is a concept that extends way back. But, you can make an amulet with a little piece of parchment, right? Can you imagine taking the time and the expense to go ahead and make an amulet in the shape of tefillin? So he says, v'chi adam torech lasos kamiya kabin tefillin. But when a person put in so much time and effort making an amulet like tefillin, this nan, The Medram Amurim, like our Mishnah said, when is this true? Meaning, when is it true that you could carry in the tefillin? The Yeshanos, only with old pairs. Aval Bechadoshos, but with new pairs, Pater. We'll say Pater means Pater Amalasi. You can't bring them in because they're amulets. We assume they're amulets. So what do you see from Rabbi saying? That people do engage in tirchadik activities, right? That people do engage in things that require an incredible amount of exertion. If that's the case, then what? Then why should we allow you to use even the small strand of tchilas string with the assumption that it's for tzitzis? Maybe somebody really had intention of using it for a garment. Rabbi Zeira li Ava Berei. Rabbi Zeira said to Ava, his son, Puk tani lehu. Go out and teach the following statement. Hamotzi tchilas b'shuk. If someone finds tchilas in the marketplace, Lishonos psulin. If you find long strips, it's pasul. Pasul means you can't use it for tefillin because the assumption is that they were made and dyed for the sake of garments. However, chutin mufsakin, if you find small strands, kshirin, that is kasher for tzitzis. Why? Lefi she'ein adam toreach. Because people don't put in that much exertion to use small strings like this for the sake of their garments. So listen to this. So Amarava, this is a great line. Amarava, umishum de tani la ava bered Rabbi Zeira. Kipi talila. So Rava says, very good job, Rabbi Zeira, because you sent your kid out to teach the halacha like you. So suddenly we could all hang our head on that, right? Meaning that what Rabbi Zeira was saying to Ava, his son, is go out and teach it, because when you go out and teach, it becomes public policy. So Rava says, just because you told your kid to go out and teach it in the base medrash, that's your opinion. Very nice, but that doesn't necessarily make it authoritative. Kipitala literally means, can we hang our nose rings on it? I think the contemporary application would be, can you hang your hat on it? Right? Just because you said you can hang your hat on it. But we learn. So we'll say, remember, our Mishnah itself attests to the fact that what? That people do engage in tircha. That people do engage in processes that are an incredible amount of work for the sake of a particular result. Meaning the fact that somebody would take the time to make an amulet that looks like tefillin, it tells us that what? That a person might very well also take a little strand of tchilas that looks like it could be used for tzitzis and somehow make it for the purpose of weaving it onto their garment. Ela Amar Rava, tarach velo tarach tanahi. Rather, Rava says, and we'll say with this, we'll stop over here. Rava says the concept of how much tircha a person is willing to engage in is in and of itself the subject of a machlokes tanah. We'll pick up with Amar Rava tomorrow.